In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. I'm glad to be with you. It's Father Tom. Oh, hallelujah. As the rain and the snow come down from the earth, the scripture says, my word will not return to me void. It will do exactly what I call it to do. Oh, yes, as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens to the earth and waters the earth, my word will do exactly what it's called to do. Do you know that today? That the word of God is powerful. That the word of God is love. That the word of God is redemption for you. That the word of God is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. I'm looking at the 10th chapter of St. Mark. Jesus left that place and went to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and crowds again gathered around him. What do you think he's going to do with the crowds? And as was his custom, he again taught them. Oh, yes, the word of God. We don't have enough of the word of God. We need to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just have to keep on telling you that, because it's true. Jesus taught them. Before he did any healing ministry, he taught them the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. It doesn't return void. Isaiah 55:9-11. Some Pharisees came, and they came to testify, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Divorce. He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and of divorce. But Jesus said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this commandment for you. In other words, this is not the will of God. Divorce is not the will of God. I want to tell you, God hates divorce, and it does very bad things to children. If you have a divorced family, you know that this experience has hurt you. And you know, sometimes you just can't help it. You have to leave the person, because they may be violent. They may be violent, or other reasons. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That's Adam and Eve. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Yes, the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her if she marries another, or if he marries another. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. I'm telling you that people who are divorced can come to receive the Eucharist as long as they're not living with anybody else. They can need to go to confession. Many people think that just because I've been divorced, it separates me from the Eucharist. No, you go to confession. Now, if you've been divorced and you're with somebody else, that's another issue. That's another issue that makes you outside of the communion rail. But you see, God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. Why does he love you? Because he loves you. Give me three reasons why God loves you. He loves you. He loves you more. And he loves you most. Jesus blesses the little children. We must remember that little children at the time of Jesus had no worth. you had no worth. They were not counted. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. Oh, don't we all need the touch of Jesus? Don't we all need the touch of Jesus that comes from Jesus himself? Not only do little children need the touch of Jesus, but you need the touch of Jesus. And I need the touch of Jesus. And disciples spoke sternly to them. In other words, get these kids out of here. He spoke sternly to the children, the disciples. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." In other words, you got to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms. He laid hands on them and blessed them. Oh, how we need the arms of Jesus around us to touch us, to bless us, to fill us with love. How we need that Jesus would touch us in a profound way. That happened in my life in 1968. He touched me in a profound way that changed my whole life. The rich man. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Oh, yes. Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." The young man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Oh my gosh. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He didn't just come with words. "You've got to sell everything and give it to the poor." He looked at the young man and he loved them with that glance of love, that love that only God can give. But listen, "Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Don't let your possessions possess you. You want to be possessed by God, by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Don't let your possessions possess you. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." How hard it will be. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." But they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked around and he said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Do you believe that today? That even a rich man can enter the kingdom of heaven if they become like children. Even a poor man can enter the kingdom of heaven if they are like children. It's like the children, it's all about the kingdom. The children enter the kingdom of God. It's all about the children and not about the rich and not about the poor. It's about the children, that we are children of God and we act as if we are little kids to enter into the kingdom of God and trust Jesus. "For men it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible."
Do you believe that? That all things are possible for Jesus Christ, for the Father, and for the Holy Spirit. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, yes. All things are possible for God. Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields with persecution." Oh, yes. Jesus does not promise arthritis. He promises persecution because we love him. And people will be persecuting us because they want nothing to do with Jesus. Oh, yes, it's all about persecutions. In the Middle East, they're experiencing deep persecutions. In China, deep persecutions. We need to pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. We need to pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. We in America have not yet received great persecutions for following Jesus. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. They receive 100-fold now in this age houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, not fathers, children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first, that's the Jews, will be last, and the last, the Gentiles, will be first. This is what God says. This is what God says. This is the Word of God. But are you one of God's children? Have you accepted the Lord and given him your heart? Are you one of his new creations? Are you the one who loves Jesus with your whole heart and your whole soul? Am I? Is he my only possession? In all reality, I have nothing but Jesus. In all reality, you have nothing but Jesus. When the door of your bedroom is closed, I tell you the only thing you have is Jesus Christ. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. They're going up to Jerusalem. And what do you think is going to happen? That's where he's going to be crucified. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, just like the shepherd. He walks ahead of the sheep. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him." Yesterday we read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, "Like a sheep led to the slaughterhouse, like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. All we have sinned and followed our own way. But God laid upon Jesus the guilt of us all. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." The request of James and John. Now this is, you would think that James and John would know better, but you know, they're just like us. They're just like us. They're looking to be first. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit
one at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory.
Oh, they know there's the glory of God. But they want to sit one at the right hand of Jesus and one at the left. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, that suffering, or be baptized with the baptism that I was baptized with, that suffering? They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I will drink, suffering, you will drink, and the baptism with which I was baptized, you will be baptized, suffering. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to get angry with James and John. They were thinking the same thing. Oh yes, it's very easy to get angry with people who do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. It's very easy. That's why Jesus said, before you pray, forgive. Let's continue. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be servant of all. And whoever wishes to be first among you must become slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom. Do you know that today? That he came to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. He came to serve. I'm looking at the 13th chapter of St. John. Now, before the festival, that's Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. He's going to be servant of all. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he got up from the table, took off the outer robe, tied a towel around himself, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. That's the job of the slave. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to become a slave. You've got to become a servant. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Simon said. Jesus answered, you do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, and he doesn't mean wash you with the feet, unless I wash you in my blood, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, one who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. You are clean, though not all of you, not Judas, for he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After he washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to table and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that's who I am. If your teacher and Lord have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than those who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. I tell you, Jesus is the servant of all. Jesus is the slave of all. He who is God in the flesh, he is the servant of all. He is the slave of all. He not only preaches, but he lives what he preaches. And that's the whole truth about Jesus. He lives what he preaches. He lives what he preaches. Let's continue. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and the only way to get to Jerusalem is to go up. It's on Mount Zion. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed and followed. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over." The healing of blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to shut up, but he cried out all the louder. Why? Because he's blind. He doesn't know where Jesus is. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Do you know Jesus is calling you today? Oh, he doesn't call you by a number. He called you by your name. And you know, Timaeus, his son, the only name of Bartimaeus was son of Timaeus. He had no name because he was blind, probably from birth. "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off the cloak, he began to spring up and came to Jesus. What do we have to throw off to come to Jesus? We have to throw off our pride. Oh, how proud we are. We think we're not like everybody else. We're a little better. Throw off your pride and run to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, that's another thing. He says to you today and to me, "What do you want me to do to you?" The blind man said to him, "Teacher, my teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way up to Jerusalem. And you know, he's going to be crucified. And I believe Bartimaeus was there with Jesus, looking on. Now he could see. And what does he see? He sees the Lord. He sees the Lamb of God. He sees the one that has died for his sins. Oh, yes. It's wonderful to have your eyes open. But it's more wonderful to have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you this. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that you're better than other people. You have 100% need of Jesus. I'm talking to myself. Father Tom, don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. You have 100% need of Jesus. Offer him your life. Give him everything. Don't worry about where you're going to sit in heaven. Just make sure that you're living like Jesus, a servant's life, because he's given you everything. He's bled for you. He's risen for you. And he has plans for you. Oh, Jesus has plans for you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For home lesson, read the 13th chapter of St. John. Jesus came as a servant for you, for me, and he washed us clean with his precious blood. May Jesus Christ be praised now and forever in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.